for tonight, Ante from Port Fishington Speakers Group.
Hi, everybody. Ante, alcoholic.
It's
creeping me out. I'm really nervous. I hate doing this. I have sobriety date. It's August 24, 2008. I have a home group. Just like Jeff said, Port Fishington speaker meeting. We meet tonight. I never miss my home group, but me and Jeff kind of traded. I'm a speaker getter for my group, so Jeff came and spoke a couple of months ago. I promised him I'll do the same. We meet 7:30 Monday night. It used to be a ghetto, I would always say, in the middle of the ghetto in Philly, but now it got gentrified. Bunch of hipsters walking around, half a million dollar properties. So I don't know if you in the neighborhood get sick of a bunch of dudes in skinny jeans and beards that resemble men, but they're not. Come see us. It's a speaker meeting, and that's where I'm on Mondays. What else? There's going to be probably a bunch of opinions flying around. It always happens, so please feel free to disregard. I have a simple job to just kind of share my experience. Just like the big book tells me what I need to do and what my job is. I don't feel like my job is to carry a message of hope. I just think my job is just to tell the truth. That's it. Truth as I see it. So I'll try to do that. Obviously, you hear my accent. I'm not from, Bucks County. I insisted on geographical cure for alcoholism. And here to report that this continent is not working either. I tried everything. I didn't know, scary place is sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, not knowing you're an alcoholic. And there's a lot of people here, and I know for a fact not all of us are alcoholics here. There's no AA police, so nobody will kick you out. But I have I'm an alcoholic, and what that means is that I belong to a very small group of people who have allergic reaction to alcohol. End of story. Big Book doesn't tell me, if you don't buy into this, don't drink no matter what. Big Book specifically says, if you don't buy into this, go to the nearest bar. And if you can go there and take a few and go home, you just might not be having what I have. Because I can't. I just can't. Alcoholism, don't give me that choice. Telling to the guy like me, just don't drink, is like telling to the guy like me, just don't let the sun come out tomorrow. Like, got it. No problem. But I didn't know what's wrong with me. As far as my memory goes back, I was just felt off. Every speaker, I like listening to speakers, but what I'm doing here tonight has nothing to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. Has nothing to do with my recovery. This will not keep me sober for 1 second. If you keep me speaking for 2 weeks in a row, I'll be drinking. I'll be a circuit drinker. Because I know a lot of speakers, great speakers, that are total scumbags. And I know lousy speakers that are awesome human beings. So I don't get involved into red carpet of Alcoholics Anonymous, because I get really pissed off last couple of years. Like, every time you open a Facebook, it's like a fucking pissing contest. Oh, come here to this meeting. We have this speaker from who knows where. Oh, that's nothing. You got to come to our meeting, because this dude is coming, and if he touches you, you're going to stay sober for a year. You know what I mean? It's like, our speaker is from Jupiter, and if you come to, it, like, I you know, I just don't get involved in that. You know how it sounds? Sounds like a promotion. Somebody tried to sell me Alcoholics Anonymous, I would not buy into it. That's how it sounds to me. It sounds like a promotion. Rant over. I had to put it out there. Like I said, I felt weird when I was young, awkward, shy, weird looking. I was about 6'2" when I was like 5 years old. Big ears, big nose, didn't like myself. Did not like myself. I don't have a horror story, dysfunction, abuse, kinky uncle, none of that stuff. You know, I come, you know, from a great family. I'm youngest of three. Had everything I, you know, wanted in life, everything I needed, definitely. Just great family. But like I said, I remember going to a therapist once. She would tell me, that it's normal, me as an international student, to feel a little bit of alienated being in a foreign country. And I remember telling her, I feel alienated on Christmas dinner with my family. It has nothing to do with me being here. And that's how I felt, you know, my whole life, like I'm waiting for a mothership to pull in and tell me, you know, we dropped you off on the wrong planet, come home. You know, so that's how I was. You know, there's always a scale inside of me. Doesn't measure up. And it was always part of me. I'm fine by myself, alone. But as soon as I'm around other kids, it's constantly dropping. And that's how I would feel. I just don't measure. Not good enough, tall enough, big enough, smart enough. I just was never enough. Until I picked up a drink. You know, I come from a country, we don't have Puritan system of society like you guys have here. So we don't have underage drinking. You can go and drink whenever you want. It's kind of a pretty good deal for alcoholics. But me and my buddy went out. I was about 12, 13 years old. And I remember getting loaded. And man, you know, that's what makes me an alcoholic. You know, what alcohol does for me. Not what alcohol does to me. You know, alcohol does same thing what these steps do for me. It changes my perception. You know, I wasn't shorter, my ears didn't shrink on my nose, but I just felt good. I felt okay being me. You know, alcohol just sets me free. You know, and for alcoholic, for a guy like me, I think like as a human being, you have a bunch of these needs. You know, you need to eat and breathe and, you know, money, sex. There's all kind of classification of the stuff that I need. But when I pick up a drink, the need to pick up a second one comes right next to the taking another breath for a guy like me. And I love alcohol. I love everything about drinking. Alcohol saved my life. Alcohol saved my life. You know, long enough to come to you guys. If I didn't have booze, I would probably commit suicide before I would be 18 years old. But like I said, I found booze, and it was awesome. I was a blackout drinker from the get-go. I didn't know. I thought everybody drinks like me. I used to call them time travels. Just fun. You know, you get loaded, you wake up, all your friends tell you stupid shit you did last night, and it was just great. A lot of fun. Alcohol was a lot of fun. And I can function. You know, I'm good in school. I'm good with people. I'm just good. I drank as much as I could, as often as I could. And like I told you, alcohol was a lot of fun. I finished elementary school, started. I finished first grade of high school. You know, I always give a quick history lesson. One of my first resentments, I remember coming here on Temple University. When I would meet somebody, they would say, "Are you Russian?" I'd be so mad. I'm like, no, I'm not Russian. But where are you from? I'm like, Croatia. Well, that's close to Russia. I'm like, no, you fucking asshole. Philly is close to Russia. Like, I would be so resentful. I'm like, man. But I'm from Croatia. It's far away from Russia. It's on the Mediterranean. And Croatia was part of Yugoslavia, and Yugoslavia was communist. 1991, communism was just Berlin Wall and Romania and all that stuff was going down. So we declared independence and civil war blew up. And everybody between 18 and 55 were drafted. You know, my best friend was drafted. I was 15 at the time. So like I told you, I know it's going to sound come as a surprise to you guys, but I have a really big ego. I was a young alcoholic watching too many Chuck Norris movies, and I joined the military. I'm like, I'll handle this war situation, you know, real quick, so we can all move on. And that's what I did. I joined the military. I broke my mother's heart, and I stayed there 5 years, and I did everything you do in service. I don't know anybody been in service, but you know what I'm talking about. I seen everything. You see in war, and there's not too many Saving Private Ryan moments. Everybody's scared, shitless, 24 hours a day. There was always liquor, there was always ammunition. That's all I needed. You know, a few times, and there would be no liquor, I would walk to the infirmary, and I would take ethanol. That's it. Ethanol is it for alcoholics. It's 97% alcohol. That's it. 98% alcohol doesn't exist. I knew from my biology class, if you start drinking on ethanol, you're going to go blind. It was just like a matter of how to put this in my system and kind of keep my vision going still. But there's a catch. You know, if you take ethanol and you pour it in a rag and you rub it, it works. Anybody not done drinking yet? Try some controlled ethanol rubbing. you know, that's the extent I would not go, that I would not stay sober. You know, I was shot twice in those 5 years, had bad injuries, and during that time I got addicted to morphine, and later on it progressed to heroin addiction. And I always say that from the podium, because that's the truth. I hate speakers that say, I started using powder form of alcohol or some shit that doesn't even exist. I started using heroin, but I don't come here ever and introduce myself as an alcoholic and a drug addict, because I'm not. And the way I see it is you can take heroin and give it to any human being on this planet. To anybody, and you give him enough for a week, that person will be addicted to it. That's it. End of story. But if you give alcohol to any human being on this planet, only alcoholic gets addicted to alcohol. And my addiction stops the moment when I stop using, when you put me in jail, when I'm in detox or whatever, when I'm broke. That's the end of it. But my alcoholism starts there. That's why I'm not a drug addict. So I was retired. I was 21, war was over, and I was insane. Fun was over. Now, blackouts are worse. I wake up, and my gun is completely discharged, and I don't know what I did last night. And I'm the guy from the big book who's trying, just like I believe, like all of us, I'm trying to control, enjoy, so I'm maneuvering. Don't drink liquor in the morning, drink beer, don't do this, hide booze. Anybody tried that? Hide booze from myself. I'm never going to find it. You know, but I'm doing all this stuff. I go to therapy. Both of my sisters are doctors. So I was shipped off to a bunch of psychiatry and therapy. And when you're an alcoholic, I'm showing symptoms, all kind of symptoms, you know. Using drugs is a symptom of alcoholism. Drinking a lot is a symptom of alcoholism. There's a lot of symptoms of alcoholism, you know. So I bring those symptoms to therapy, and I'm not here to talk shit on therapy. Therapy is great if you have problem with your spouse, but it's not just—it's just not good. then you have a problem with alcoholism, because it's not a solution, and this person don't have a clue what's wrong with me. I don't have a clue what's wrong with me. I'm so crazy. I'm so arrogant. It's like the big book talks about, I don't bring the truth there, but I want help, and I'm also, you know, judging this guy in front of me. Within myself, I'm thinking, who are you? You're some asshole who went 4 years in some school, read a bunch of books, passed, and now you're going to tell me what I need to do. And they would tell me what I need to do, but application of that is beyond him. We have a different application of Alcoholics Anonymous. My therapist would tell me, Ante, you got to let go of your past. Like, no shit, dude. Thank you. Like, thank you. I never thought of that. I don't know how to do that. Well, we have answer how in Alcoholics Anonymous. We don't have a chapter that says why it works. It doesn't exist. But we have a chapter that says how it works. So I'm going to therapy, and they have a bunch of, you know, I was diagnosed. Bipolar, manic depression, acute anxiety, panic attacks, ADHD, ACDC. I had like a whole list of what's wrong. I was taking medication, and I wasn't getting better. I was worried one night in a bar. I thought these two smoking twins want to get with me, which I was really excited about. What was really going on there was, it was just like one chick. I was obviously seeing double, and she and she was there with her husband. Yeah, he wasn't into me at all. But I always tell this story. By the end of the long story short, by the end of that night, we got in a fight. I got stabbed all over my chest, coma, hospital. When I woke up, it was a few days later, I was plugged in. Every piece of machinery you can be plugged in to stay alive. My parents were there. My mother was there. My sisters, my girlfriend at the time. And that was the first time that I said, like, I'm never doing this again. I love you guys. I'm sorry. And I meant it. You can put me on a, you know, polygraph machine. I wasn't lying. I was done. Never doing this again. You know, because of my injuries, I was there, you know, nailed to the bed pretty much for about a month. And first day they put me in a wheelchair, I overdosed in the same hospital. I didn't know why. They're like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. Are you crazy? I guess. You know, nobody's here retarded. I know I'm killing myself and everybody around me. But, like, inability to stop was the most frustrating thing. Because I'm not a guy that's like, you know, I hear a lot of speakers and they say, I would start stuff, I would never be able to finish stuff. I'm the guy who finishes. Whatever I put my mind to it, it was done. I'm going to do this, I got it done. But when it came to drinking, you know, that inability to stop when I wanted was just so frustrating. And then, you know, trips to the, you know, psychiatric units. Here, it's like a little different. I would end up in thousands of detox and rehabs, mental institutions. And you come to like a mental institution here in the United States, it's like a bunch of dudes from AA, like, yo, what's up? You know, when you end up in a mental institution in Croatia, it's like a bunch of crazy people, like really scary stuff. And it's like everybody's nuts, and I'm there looking at them. And I'm thinking to myself, God damn, they don't even know they're crazy. I'm the only one who's crazy that I know I'm crazy. Like, I don't even belong in a nut ward. It was just insanity. So I decided to move. I come up with these brilliant ideas, still today happens, that make perfect sense. Because that's how I live my life, on this, based on intellect and reason. I was diagnosed with very high IQ, and I thought the reason why I can't connect with other people because I'm so much smarter than everybody else. I swear to God, I thought it's like me and a bunch of retards. That's why I don't do it. The arrogance that will take you, you know, and that's how I felt. So I went in the pursuit of a career. I thought I need to make money because I was now a 22-year-old who didn't have a, you know, a high school degree. And I went in the pursuit of money because I thought, you know, in order to be happy, you need to be successful. In order to be at peace, you need to be a big shot. You need to make a big bucks and you need to have a career. And I went in the pursuit of that. I moved out of Croatia, across Croatia, south. And for the next 5-6 years, I was all over the Europe. I speak 5 different languages just because I'm insisting on changing. And every time I leave the place and move to Italy or Germany, it's excited because it's like a new chapter, a new page. Everything will be different and I'm all about it. But then, you know, it creeps up old me that I can't control. And I'm the same person. I'm like a parasite going from host to host that just feeding off of people. Not because I'm bad, not because I'm evil, but just because I don't know how else to live. And that's how I am. And, you know, prolonged exposure to the guy like me will get you hurt. And a lot of people got hurt, especially the people who love you. You know, people who love you, they don't see you the way you are. They see you the way they want you to be. And a guy like me abuses that. And that was, like I told you, 5-6 years. I went to business school. I hate business. I always wanted to be a zoologist. But I'm like, man, they're broke. Let me just go to business. I finished high school and I went to, you know, finance. And I would look at normal people. Like, normal life was boring to me. Your little girlfriends and your little job. And like, how can you live like that? It was just always boring. But over time, I just thought I'm in a phase. Like, I, you know, it's going on a decade now, but I need to, like, calm down and relax and do what normal people do. And I was dating this girl on and off for years, and then finally we kind of got back together. I moved back. I was living in Germany. I moved back to Croatia. I got her pregnant, AA-style pregnancy. And we were, like, 3 weeks into it. We were pregnant. We were getting married. And everything's going to be great. And I had good intentions. Big Book talks about, you know, we had good intentions. We had, you know, moral convictions, but we could not live up to them, no matter how hard we tried, because needed power just wasn't there. And I wanted to be a good whatever, boyfriend, good husband, good whatever. I just couldn't show up, and finally I drained her like I drained everybody else, that to the point that she left me, did the abortion, and we kind of broke up. And then I would take a look at my life, and every shithole that I ever put myself in was always connected to drinking, you know. And just kind of logical solution is, my moments of sobriety were no longer than a few months. I can't stand being sober. I always knew that whatever is wrong with me, alcohol fixes it. You know, don't get me wrong. Alcohol creates problems, but alcohol solves problems. And the problems that alcohol solves are far more valuable than problems alcohol will create. And a guy like me is always willing to trade that any day of the week. But I stopped. That's what I told you, like, that's how I operate. And when you look at the problem that we have, it's selfishness. But when you analyze selfishness, selfishness is very simple to analyze. It says, Ante, if you don't give nothing to nobody, you'll have more for yourself. Makes perfect sense. You know, it's mathematically correct. It's logical. But it doesn't work. So I stopped drinking. I said, I'm never drinking again. I'm done hurting people. As much as I would blame the world around me for, you know, my behavior and what I'm doing, deep down inside, I always knew I'm the common denominator in all of this. So I stopped drinking. I moved back to Germany. I was there on my 3rd year of business, finished that, and I got a scholarship to come here. I was 2002, Temple, to finish my senior year. And I come here, like I told you, it's going to be great, different. I'm leaving the continent. It's going to be awesome. And I have good intentions. And I come here, I didn't speak English. It was just a nightmare. And I was here in school, and I got what you guys sell. I got your little American dream within a matter of years. Graduated, started making money, house in Lower Merion, 2-car garage, fancy job downtown Philly, 6-figure income. Expensive shoes and expensive suits, and I think I got it going on. Future looks bright, life looks great. if you look from where you're standing at my life. But every morning when I would drive down that goddamn Schuylkill Expressway to go to work, all I want to do is turn under the 18-wheeler. Every morning was a nightmare. It's like, is this it? Is this it? Like, I'm sober 3 years. And people say my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. Hell no. Like, hell no. I'll paint you a photo of my worst day sober. 3 years sober, beautiful life on the outside. I'm in a fetal position with a gun in my mouth, trying to have enough balls to pull the trigger. That's my worst day sober, right there and then. And we need another like 3 hours for my best day drunk. But it was pretty damn good. And like I told you, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like demons, I'm not sleeping, I'm losing my mind, I'm insane. And I go to therapy. So that's what I do know. And that's the lady that I told you from the beginning. She said, oh, it's normal, Ante. I'm like, what do you mean it's normal? You have to be on top of your class. What do you mean it's normal? She said it's normal for international students to feel a little bit alienated when they come to foreign country. She had prescriptions. I wasn't into prescriptions. I was into drinking. And Big Book talks about some kind of insanity we have preceding that first drink. I don't have that either at all. I know exactly where booze is going to take me. And I want to go there. Because sobriety sucks. And I don't want to stay sober. And I picked up a drink. Fast forward 2.5 years later, I was homeless. Like I told you, I'm not going to come here and tell you alcoholism took this, that, and the other away from me. It didn't took nothing. I'm the guy who is willing to trade everything inside and outside of me for the feeling alcohol gives me. Period. Career or drinking? Drinking. You know, respect of your friends and family or drinking? Drinking. House, cars, who gives a shit? You know, dignity and honor, whatever. And that's where I was. Very attractive neighborhood, Kensington. And I was dead. I was walking around, had a pulse, but I was dead. And I'm dangerous. I always thought I'm really tough, but I'm not. I'm scared. And when I'm scared, I'm dangerous because I don't have balls to kill myself. But I'm running streets hard, just hoping there will be some animal just like me in some dirty, disgusting alley that can put a bullet in me. If there would be a breath in me, probably I would say thank you. And that ended January 24, 2004. I woke up like I always do. But this time I'm in the back seat of a pickup truck. Two guys are driving. One of them turned to me and said, what's up, G? I'm like, what's up? That was bizarre. It was bizarre. You know, there were sober members of Alcoholics Anonymous who found me laying in the snow, picked me up, and took me to my first AA meeting. And boy, so is this, oh my God. I always try to paint the picture, it's just impossible. But it's this, you guys probably, what do you guys know the place? It's called Last Stop. Well, it didn't have the name back then. I'm like an original member. I'm one of the first crew members of this place. So you come to the place, it's like an abandoned building. There's like a blue tarp instead of the roof. Half of the floor is missing. Dog with three legs is running around. It's like, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm crazy and dirty. And I'm looking at you guys, I'm like, what a bunch of losers. Look at this group. Because that's all it takes me, you know. I don't think a new guy coming in or a new girl walking in, I don't think they're looking for a way in. They're looking for a way out. And it takes me 10 seconds to separate myself from them. That's all it took. I'm looking at you guys, you know, you guys are nothing like I thought. The Alcoholics Anonymous, that you guys have problem with drinking. So I knew I'm not like you. It was cool what you guys have going on here. That you guys have problem with alcohol and drinking. So you guys have your little society here holding on to one another. So when one decides, man, I'm drinking tonight, the other one, no, Yeah, thanks. That's what I thought you guys all about, and I wasn't one of you. I just wasn't one of you. I knew one thing about me when I was a new guy sitting here. I was a fake. Nothing about me was real. I was hating my guts. And I was sitting detoxing, ready to roll. I remember being in the military. There would be times when it would be so bad that I knew with 100% certainty that I'm not getting out of here alive. And as sick as it sounds, what that gives you is a sense of freedom. Morbid, but freedom nonetheless. When I was homeless, that was not my 2002 New Year's resolution, homeless this year. You know, I wasn't raised to be homeless, didn't plan to be homeless, but that's where I ended up. And it was okay. And the reason why it was okay, I don't know why, but I just tried everything else, and I was convinced that I'm just one of them guys that has to be the way I am. So, my first few days in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was fine just leaving. But what ended up happening, this kid would come there. Like I told you, go to that neighborhood now. You know, it's getting gentrified, and there's like properties that you could bought for $10,000 12 years ago are now $400,000. It's completely different. People were not coming there. I met people from Philadelphia that never went to Kensington. They lived there their whole life. And this kid would come there every night. And he was so CA in Olive Garden. And you take one look at him, you see he don't belong there. He looks like he's coming from a golf tournament or something. And he would come there every night, and he was light, he was happy, and he would be talking with these guys. Just something about him. You know, I was, what I told at the beginning, I need to be attracted to something. You can't sell me Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't care who is speaking. I don't care what kind of cookies your meetings have. Like, I was attracted to Alcoholics Anonymous. Just looking at him, didn't even know what is Alcoholics Anonymous. But me and him ended up talking one night. And he did AA with me. You know, he shared his experience with me. And byproduct of that is hope. You know, I would look around my life and it's nothing but destruction. But just after talking with him, just destroying that feeling of uniqueness, he did that with me in a matter of minutes. All the therapists that I ever had would give all their degrees in a blink of an eye if they can do what we can do. In a matter of minutes. And I was hooked. I had hope that maybe, just maybe, I'm going to be okay. He mentioned the word God. And no. That's a no. I was brought up Catholic. Parents never pushed religion on me. Like I told you, I'm such an arrogant asshole that I always thought it's a matter of weakness. When you don't have enough intellectual capacity, you need some shit like that. And my parents were very religious, but also open that I can do whatever. Like I told you, I never prayed, never went to church, never did nothing. So when he asked me, do I believe in God? I said, no, absolutely not. And he said, have you ever been right about something? 100% sure. You would bet your life on it. And then later on turned up you've been wrong. Maybe. Long time ago. I remember this one time. I said, yeah. And he said, well, maybe you've been wrong about God. And that's exactly what our second step tells us. I'm not here to sell you a story. I didn't come here to sell you anything, you know. It's very simple, beautiful promise. If you open your mind, and if you open your heart, and if you take these actions that you don't believe they're going to work, but if you take them anyway, that God, whatever God is, will prove himself to you personally. That's a pretty powerful promise. And that promise became my experience. And I tell that to the guys, whether they like it or not. This is the deal. This is the deal if you're alcoholic. You need to find God to recover. End of story. And I know how much it sucks. So you're telling me that I have a condition that the only solution for it is to find something that I don't believe exists. Yes. That's it. And I went on my knees. You know, I was in a good place. My grandfather always says, I brought the biggest gift when I was a new guy here. And it was a gift of total desperation. And that's what I had. I went on my knees because there was nowhere else to go. Not because of virtue, but by default. That's it. By default. I said a prayer to God I didn't believe or understood. I said, God, I don't know who or what you are, but if you are, I need help. And nothing happened. I thought something will happen because Ante said the first prayer. I never said the third step prayer. I like the big book. It says wording is optional. I don't think God is looking at me reading from a blue book. I don't think God gives a shit. I never said that prayer. But I honestly asked for help, and I did what was asked for me. I did your things. I did my inventory. I didn't have a fifth step experience. I wasn't delighted. I was disgusted. For the first time in my life, I was exposed to the truth. The way I wrote it down was, I'm going to show this guy what this world has done to me. And I was convinced of that. And I was holding on to the worst item in the stock, just like the book talks about. I gave him my paper. He took it, put it aside, and said, Ante, tell me the worst thing you did, something that you didn't put on a paper. Like, he knew. And man, I told him, Scott, if you tell this to anybody, I'll execute your whole family, I promise you. It's just a disgusting, degrading story that I don't drop from the podium, but every guy that ever sat across from me heard me. Nothing. Something that I'm capable, like I told you, I'm capable of doing anything for another drink. So I did that. I made my amends. Like I told you, I'm fortunate that I have a good sponsor who showed me Alcoholics Anonymous. In my opinion, Alcoholics Anonymous is not this is not AA. It's not the time between a preamble and the Lord's Prayer, but the time between a Lord's Prayer and a preamble. That's Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm super cool for an hour. You should see me this morning screaming at my guys. Screaming. Good thing about, I have a way to get out. You know, I have a head that's still an alcoholic. It's like two factories. One manufactures bullshit 24 hours a day. And the other one buys into it 24 hours a day. You know, so I have a way out. And, you know, I recover quickly. And I also believe your recovery depends on how fast are you willing to move your feet. It doesn't take time. It doesn't take nothing. I'm not into these inventions that kind of sneaked its way through Alcoholics Anonymous when it comes to relationship, when it comes to this. Like I tell my guys, you're ready for a relationship when you don't need one. That's it. Go and date. I don't care if you're 10 years sober, if you constantly have a desire to have attention for somebody. No, you're not ready for a relationship. I don't care, a year or 100 years sober. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I was the guy who was never single, ever. I was just done. I was just doing Alcoholics Anonymous. And I got better, and I got better real quick. Outside life was super shitty. I was working construction for Mexicans. They tortured me. I was their Mexican. And it was a nightmare. But on the inside, I was happy. Like, I was happy for the first time in my life. I loved it. And what ended up happening, became Mr. AA really quickly. Sponsoring everybody and their mother. I spoke at this meeting probably 3, 4, 5 times with different sobriety dates. And that's why I don't like these big shot speakers, because if they are 10% of arrogant and egotistical as me, it can't be good for them to speak that much. I say no to speaking all the time. I was just like, a couple of months ago, somebody Facebooked me, the guy that I never met. And he said, Ante, my name is Joe Schmo from whatever, Hoboken. And he said, me and my buddies listen to your CD, and it's really funny. Can you come and speak for us? I'm like, what is this? You want fucking popcorn? I replied, no. He said, can you come and speak for us in October? I replied, no. Then he replied, how about November? I said, no. So I think he got the message. It's not a show. I'm not here to entertain, and no other speakers. I'm a speaker getter for my group. One thing that I hate the most when they text me, who is speaking tonight? AA speaker. That's it. Got nothing to do with absolutely nothing, because I was speaking at the meetings everywhere. I was sponsoring everybody, but I was dying. Like, I was getting sick physically. There was no God in my life. If you walk in the rooms of AA, go talk to him. He's the winner. And I was falling apart, 4 years sober. In the middle of the meeting one night, I'm like, man, my buddy Chris Brennan was doing his big book study. I just got off. I'm like, shut up, dude. And I walked out and I got loaded. Just like that. My grand sponsor passed away a year ago. He used to say, picking up a drink for an alcoholic is like having sex with gorilla. It's over when gorilla says it's over. That's exactly what happened. I wanted to be back in AA next day. All my friends came that night when I got loaded. Everybody's sitting in my living room. There's like 30 people. I remember my buddy Boots says, is it true about the phenomenon of craving? I'm like, I'll let you know tomorrow. It's true. It's true. Tomorrow came 2.5 years later. I got sober August 24, 2008. I'll paint you a picture August 23rd of 2008. I wake up like I always do. My phone is ringing. I answer my phone. My friend Katie from York is calling me because I've been missing for days and I don't even know where I'm at. There's thousands of people around me. I'm looking for a Philly skyline. She's like, where are you? Everybody's looking. I'm like, I don't know. I grab the guy in front of me. I'm like, where are we? He's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. He said, Allman's Brothers concert in Camden. I'm like, I'm in Camden. It's all good. I got my money. It's fine. Everything is good. Fast forward that night, I went back to my apartment in Philly. Vodka, cocaine, Dominicans. Not a good combination. By the end of that night, got robbed. They beat the shit out of me. And they threw me out of my own window. And I ended up in a hospital, Episcopal Hospital, getting stitched up. And I was cows and cuts and stitches. I was all cut up. I was leaving hospital and in the waiting room. I don't even remember. It looked like it was room like this. I feel there was like 100 people there waiting for me. They were like my friends from AA, guys I was sponsoring, just like a lot of friends, a lot of relationships. They were like, get in a car. We're taking you to York. My sponsor lived in York. And I'm like, I'm going nowhere. I got 80 more bucks. And I wouldn't move until I got loaded one more time. I got loaded and they took me to York, Pennsylvania. I don't know anybody heard of York or been to York. But oh my God. They'll tell you it's like this really cute historical York. No, it's not cute. It's one whole town is a ghetto. It's dirty, it's disgusting, it's historical because they didn't do any renovations. It's like 1700s. It's just terrible place. So I ended up in York, Pennsylvania, getting sober. My sponsor lived there. I always joke with my guys. I'm like, losers end up in recovery houses. Losers, like real losers, end up in girls' recovery houses, because that's where I ended up. A friend of mine, Patty, from, you know, she lives in New York. We've been close for years. She's like, you're staying with me. She was around. She had a girls' recovery house, so I got sober with four girls. I was a new girl there. And they nurtured me back to health. And I got sober one more time. You know, Big Book talks about spirituality. The way I see it is just, it's just separation. It's just like a distance between me and God. And that distance can be so big that I can start living in a delusion that God is not even real no more. And that's where I was. No matter of my past experience, no matter what I knew, it was so hard to come back to Alcoholics Anonymous because I was recovered here. I meet a lot of people. I've been in and out, in and out. I'm like, have you ever done the steps of being involved in this? Like, no. Well, you've never been in. And I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been active member, recovered, happy, God aware, and then everything was gone. It was really hard to come back. I remember my sponsor would tell me, Ante, we drink when we are in some sort of spiritual blackout. Alcoholics pick up a drink. But when we are in some sort of spiritual blackout, we do all kinds of things. We lie, we manipulate, we cheat. But we don't get white coins for that. There would be a lot of white coins here. A lot of white coins. We just get white coins for drinking. You know, this is not about drinking. This is not about drinking. So I got back in AA. Good thing about this, we talk about principles that are spiritual in nature. We call them spiritual because they are based on the existence of a loving God. When I got sober, first time I didn't even know what a principle was. I asked my sponsor, I'm like, what's a principle? He said, it's something that applies to all of us equally. And he compared it to gravity. He said, if me and you climb on a roof, and if I push you, you're going to go down. There's a principle of nature called gravity. And you can say, I don't believe in gravity. You can say, I don't like gravity. Well, gravity just don't give a shit what you like or believe. You're going to still go down. Same with this principle. If you're alcoholic, you are dying because you're lacking these principles in your life. And you can say, I don't buy into that shit. You can say, I don't like it. I'm not aware of it. That's fine. Still doesn't change the fact you're dying. The good thing about it, once you apply them, they work again. That's exactly what happened to me. I started applying them back in my life and they work again. I stayed in New York for about 2.5 years and I moved back to Philly about 6 years ago. You know, I have 5-6 more minutes. I have a great life. Amazing life. And it's all a result of you guys. I destroyed my life to the point that I was illegal in this country. My visa expired. All this shit, I couldn't ride. My guys complain, oh my God, DUI, 90-day suspension. I'm like, shut up. How about decade, bitch? I couldn't see my family for 12 years. For 12 years. I see my mother after 12 years. And I couldn't even come to see her. She had to fly here to see me. 12 years. I went to Newark Airport and picked up her and my sister. First time she see me normal. First time I was a brother and first time I was a son. I was there on my sobriety checkpoint because of you guys. You guys show me how to be a man of dignity and honor. How to show up when I say I'm going to show up. I learned everything you need to know to be a man in Alcoholics Anonymous, all from you guys. 1,000 things happen. I can go on and on. All this exterior stuff and house, and I started a business and friends. Just exterior is great, but it can all go away. I was perfectly happy sleeping on a concrete floor in that clubhouse, having nothing. And I can still today wake up perfectly miserable, having everything. So nothing outside of me is the source of my happiness or misery, for that matter. Nothing outside of me. There is... I don't know what God is. I don't know what God's will is. Anybody new here, my suggestion is stay away from people who know those things. Because you'll hear all kind of stuff in AA. Oh, God don't want me to, whatever, smoke crack. Oh, how do you know that? How do you know that? I don't know that. Hidden people put human emotions on God. You know, my mom was sick, dying, we all praying, she's all better now. Oh, God really likes your mom. And the kids that are dying in a hospital, he hates them, I guess. You know, my God don't operate like that. Absolutely no human emotions have anything to do with power that I like to keep as mysterious as it is to me on a daily basis. Like I told you, I don't know what God is. What God's will is, I don't even know if God is real or not. But what I do know is that when I live my life as if God is real, He's my loving Father who takes care of me. As long as I take care of my brothers and my sisters, my life gets beautiful. My life gets amazing. My life gets full. And I can still be delusional. Because God knows I'm no stranger to the delusion. But this is a beautiful delusion. And it's absolutely free. And it's absolutely available here. You know, if you read the chapter, how it works. In that chapter, the word must is put over 150 times. There's just one line that word must goes one after the other. And it says above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Thank you.